It's time for another edition of our weekly podcast, Silence Broken, where we continue to keep the conversation surrounding intimate partner violence, also known as IPV, in the public eye. Joined as always by Lanark County Interval House Executive Director Aaron Lee. Aaron, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure as always.
And today we are honored to have with us Roberta Della Picca. Am I saying the Picca part right?
Pika.
Pica. Okay, I apologize. Roberta
That's okay.
Roberta Della Pica, who is an Indigenous community member and advocate. Welcome, Roberta.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here today.
We're so happy to have you here. When we're recording this, it's the day after the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, and we thought that it would be important that we look at IPV within your community. Specifically, when it comes to missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and two-spirited individuals. We've heard about this in the news so many times, it keeps reappearing. And really, we just want to know what the state of the conversation is right now. That's a very broad question, Roberta, I realize.
Right. Well, I happen to live in Renfrew County, and as you know, 10 years ago there was a inquest into the triple femicide that happened on September 22nd, 2015. And I don't know, the state of the conversation is a little more extensive than it was back then. And I'm delighted to report that when we did take back the night in Killaloe, we had a greater attendance. Each year, we pick a different city within the county, and more people show up and have conversations. So that's a really good thing. Also, we've had a presence with the OPP, which is very delightful because they're key frontline responders to various acts of IPV. So it's nice when we collaborate and think together how we can make the community safer for all. There's still not that much conversation about murdered and missing Indigenous women in the public in Renfrew County, but there are pockets of discussions, particularly in collaboration again with Pickwockinagon First Nation. But I really would love to see more conversations like this in the public eye, on the radio, maybe on television, and various conferences to get together and really dive deeply into the solutions because it takes the entire community.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, Ro, and I appreciate the mention of the 10-year anniversary of the triple femicide that happened in Renfrew County. Also, I just want to connect that to the fact that we're looking at 10 years since the 94 calls to action. So in December 2015, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission released a report, and there were 94 calls to action that were really designed to promote healing and reconciliation. And the first 42 of them, I think, were really about legacy things, right? Like, acknowledge the history and the impact of residential schools, the 60 scoop, the terribly damaging taking away of people's languages and traditions. And the remaining calls to action really are about reconciliation. And if we think about Highway of Tears, if we think about the number of murdered and missing Indigenous women who are often presumed to be murdered and are not adequately searched for based on racism and oppression and discrimination, we need to call on people to look at the 94 calls to action, to look at the specific work that's being done by Indigenous leadership across the province and the country around how do we address this ongoing reality for members of the Indigenous community.
If I may comment, I find that Canada as a country has not really demonstrated authenticity in reconciliation. There are often symbolic gestures, but we really see very little sustainable measurable, and more importantly, Indigenous-led action. I couldn't believe when they shut down the Aboriginal Healing Foundation. It funded some fabulous healing through art, through many, many different community-led organizations, and then boom, there it was gone. And we're not healed. People are not healed. The intergenerational trauma is incalculable. And so to take away the funding for services that were really working speaks very loudly about our federal government. And it's all about relationship building, and I don't see a lot of that. Many Indigenous nations seem to be ignored. Their communities and organizations are not participating in decision making. It's more like tokenism. There's consultation, but then I'm not really sure anything is listened to. And asking questions, what do you need, and then dropping the ball does not show any form of genuine commitment. So I'm really surprised that 10 years have gone by without, we've had apologies, we've had speeches, but where's the structural reform and the policy change? And you know what? I don't think anybody's even addressed colonialism. It's often not, the word is often not even heard, and people shy away from it. There's a lack of acknowledgement of the impact of colonialism that still remains in our structures today. So there's historical harm, but there's ongoing harm. So I really would like to see not just taking a look at the 94 calls to action, but real accountability, where the government shows us their track record and shows us and reports on progress and works with us, and perhaps have an Indigenous-led overseeing body. Because when the government reports on itself, it's a, they can say whatever they want, but if there's an independent body, it puts a different lens on the entire reporting system.
It
Oh,
seems.
and another good point is long-term commitment. I really would love to see some laws being changed, some institutions changing their mission statements so that we're looking at culture and language and reclamation in a real way, right across the education, health, and justice systems. We all know they're wonky, but if we don't work on them together, then they're never going to change.
It seems too that when we get announcements from the federal government or the provincial government, they roll these things out in different levels based on the size of communities. Certain things will be given to a larger city, and then there's a rural version of it. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like Indigenous communities are left out of that conversation. It's another level of community, if you will, that needs to be addressed. And it again just seems that they're being left behind. And I'm guessing what you're speaking of would allow for that representation to say, okay, well, how do we adapt this announcement to these communities?
Exactly, to have a real plan, a sustainable and measurable plan. And it's really amazing the games that are played between the provincial governments and the federal government and the funding of Indigenous communities. There, I'll take health for an example. Health is a provincially legislated responsibility. So when, and a lot of the funding for Indigenous communities is federal. So where's the link? And until there's a concrete way forward, a path forward that everyone has agreed upon, and then ways of showing progress, anything other than that is just words and not authentic action.
It's like justice as well. It's not the
Oh,
same,
yes.
and that of course brings us back to the IPV conversation and the missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and two-spirited individuals, Aaron.
Yeah, I think we need to also, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that there is There's hard work happening in our province and our country by Indigenous-led, Indigenous-run organizations like ONWA, like the Ontario Native Women's Association, like the Native Women's Association of Canada. There's really hard work. October 4th is coming, so there will be action at the Hill related to missing and murdered women and girls and two-spirited folks. I think that as in all of the work we're doing, we need to open the conversation and have authentic conversation about what our understanding is, because we know that Indigenous women are, you know, four times more likely to be impacted by intimate partner violence. We know that that Northern women face huge barriers. We know that when you live on reserve versus living off reserve, there are dynamics and nuances that happen when you're a victim of violence and you're wanting to flee. We need to be having those conversations, but we need to be listening to our leadership, like Roberta, and like others, in ONWA and the Native Women's Association of Canada, and all of the councils and various information and leadership that we have. And then we need to take direction, and we need to listen, and we need to work alongside. And we need to also be mindful of talking about decolonization. Not only are we talking about reconciliation and truth, but we need to think about decolonization. What are we doing in this with our systems moving forward to decolonize the way that we have done things for hundreds of years that have created barriers for Indigenous women and girls and two-spirited folks?
Aaron, I couldn't say it better myself. That was beautiful.
Yeah, we
Well,
meant
thank you.
absolutely. I mean, you know how I feel about the way you speak, Aaron. But you talked about it being 10 years since, I mean, two obviously notable occurrences. Where do you see things, or where would you like to see things in, like, say, 5 years, Roberta, or maybe even 10, based on what you know now and what you see happening?
I would love to see a body that is backed up by authentic leadership in the federal government to liaise with groups like Native Women's Association of Canada. I remember back when there was Status of Women, there was a great link between the federal government and Indigenous leadership, but that has been lost. And nothing will change, I believe, unless we restore these conversations and come up with a workable plan that everybody agrees upon.
Aaron, your final thoughts?
I would like to see the federal government institute a GBV commission. I think that there needs to be a commission. I think we need to have a commissioner. I think we need to have an advisory. And I think that advisory needs to be made up of survivors. It needs to be made up of Indigenous leaders, and it needs to be made of a diversity of representation of our country. And I think that that body needs to inform the government around priorities, around trends, and around the realities that are happening on the ground. And if that could happen in the next 5 years, I think that that would make a difference, because I think then the federal commissioner could liaise with all the provinces and territories in terms of looking at and being informed and informing what we need to be doing about gender-based violence across this country.
Roberta, last question for you. What would you like our listeners to take away from this? And obviously, you want to comment on what Aaron just said.
Right. What Aaron just said is something we've been talking about for quite a few years. There's actually a senator that is very pro this idea. I'm not sure she's being listened to. There are other leaders in both government and obviously Indigenous groups that are just sitting waiting to be put together as a commission, and they're very able and what's the word I'm looking for? They're sitting on the precipice, just waiting for the go ahead, and will dig their heels in and make this work so that 5 years from now, we're not still saying, where's the change we want to see?
And what would you like our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
I really would like our listeners to chat with their neighbors and find out what people are thinking and talk to their MPs, talk to anybody who will listen. Because if we're not having the conversations, it's not in people's minds at all. We could have little coffee chats if need be. Those kitchen table discussions are wonderful.
I really think that that's what this podcast is really about. It's really about promoting conversation. It's about keeping the topic alive. It's about breaking the silence that we're not just going to talk about 86 recommendations and then just move on. That this is what the intention is, right? Our intention is let's not hide behind the recommendations. Let's make them, front and center so that we're doing something meaningful to make change and affect change. So I really appreciate your insights, Roberta, and your hopes for the conversations, because that's what this is rooted in, is let's just keep the conversation going and let's not shut doors and let's learn from each other and have those important conversations.
Across all communities, which is vital to make this work, is that everybody, all walks of life, need to be having these conversations. Erin Lee, as always, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to touch base with you every week, and we will do it again next week.
Thank you.
And Roberta Della Pica, Indigenous community member and advocate, it's been a pleasure to have you here, and we look forward to having you again in the future.
My pleasure.
It's
Have a
another.
wonderful day.
You too. It's another edition of Silence Broken on LanarkLeadsToday.ca.